Johnson. Karolina Swiatla is most famous for her novels and short stories about life around Jeshced in the North Bohemian Hills. Her work has been translated into English in the past, but is hard to come by. So for a taster from her story Přišla do rozumu, here you are.
When Urban and Andula were still children, they went to school together and out picking strawberries. As they grew older, they walked one another to dances and to church. Where one of them was, the other was too. They found it almost impossible to breathe without one another. All of their neighbours treated them as if they were man and wife. It never occurred to anyone, simply, that things could turn out rather differently. And when things did, quite simply, turn out rather differently, not a single person in the whole of the village could get used to the fact that the two people were not supposed to be one.
Karolina Swiatla was born in 1830, in Prague, on a street which now bears her name. She was born into a well-to-do German-speaking family, and her real name was actually Johanna Rotova. Swiatla was just a Czechified pen name she adopted later on. Her upbringing was strict and very religious. She writes about it in her memoirs as a very unhappy time. She was raised in French and German, and the first proper Czech that she met was her music teacher Petr Mužák. He knew Božena Němcová, the famous author, and read daring new literature like Machal's Mai. As Tomáš Edel from the Podještědské muzeum explains, Swiatla was smitten.
Oni přivedl do té české společnosti a to byl prostě ten moment.
Petr Mužák introduced her to Czech society of the time, and this was when she started to respect this man 6 years her elder. Someone once asked her, somewhat impertinently, why she fell in love with the man who became her husband, and her response was, because he was the most patriotic man I've ever met. If I had met a bigger patriot, then I would have fallen in love with him. He was the man that showed her what was to become her life's aim.
Božena Němcová and Karolina Swiatla became friends and started writing to each other on a regular basis. All of the letters Němcová sent to Swiatla can now be found in the Podještědské muzeum, which was originally set up in Swiatla's honour. Swiatla and Němcová might well be considered, say, as two Czech literary greats, but in their correspondence they write about which of their friends is getting married to whom and where they want to spend their summer holidays. Němcová, who was older than Swiatla, helped her protégé out at the start of her career, but the two women soon fell out. Tomáš Edel explains why.
We know for sure because Swiatla writes in her memoirs that she got really annoyed with Němcová when she lent her some money, and right in front of Svetla's eyes, Němcová handed a sum of this money straight over to one of her lovers. This really got modest and economical Svetla's back up. But the main thing was Němcová's getting rather too close to the husband of Svetla's sister. This is what really caused the rift between the two women. But the fact is that these two women had such different temperaments that both of them would have certainly gone their own ways and would have fallen out over something or another someday.
Often, people lump Swiatla and Němcová's writings together, but not Robert Pinsent, who teaches Czech at London's School of Slavonic and Eastern European Studies. He outlines the differences between the two women's work.
Němcová is more liberal, less nationalistic than Swiatla is, for example, in her writing. Also in her writing, she has many more of the residue, at least, of Romanticism than Swiatla does. Svetla is influenced by popular literature, especially in the early stuff. I've not seen any influence of that in Němcová.
Svetla definitely moved in the right circles. Another one of her famous cooperations was with the composer Smetana, who turned one of her short stories, Hubichka, into an opera. You just heard a section of it there. Another big name that is often associated with Karolina Swietla is that of Jan Neruda, with whom she had an affair. Again, here's Tomáš Edel.
Neruda was the younger of the two and tempestuous. Svetla was a 30-year-old married woman. Jan Neruda evidently stood in awe of her and came out professing his love for her, and she obviously stylized herself into the role of his guardian angel. It seems that she refused Neruda's advances and tried as much as possible to keep their relationship very much one of literary kinship. This was obviously an attempt in part by Karolina Svetla to stylize herself.
Prvek autostylizace.
But the relationship ended rather tragically.
Neruda se dostal do velkých dluhů a Karolina Svetla tehdy byla s manželem tady na Světle.
Neruda got into a lot of debt, and Karolina Svetla, who was at her country house at the time, sold a family heirloom with a great deal of difficulty through her friend Maria Němečková, who it turned out was not to be trusted. She sent the money anonymously to Neruda so that he could avoid debtor's prison. But Němečková found out Svetla was sending the money to Neruda and blabbed, and a whole scandal erupted. Svetla and her husband returned from holiday, and all of Prague was talking about her infidelity.
Městské prostředí bylo zcela už zaplněno diskuzema o nevěře.
A Maria Němečková's treachery didn't end there.
Ona posílá Nerudovi poslední list, zřejmě to byl poslední list na rozloučenou večeru.
Svetla sent Neruda a last letter to say goodbye to him, and in it she professed her love. In this last letter, she finally wrote the thing she had been stopping herself from saying up until then. At the same time, she wrote that they should never meet again. She gave this letter to Němečková, who never delivered it. Svetla never discovered that Neruda didn't receive the letter, and Neruda never knew that Svetla ever wrote this letter. For the next 10 years, they would bump into each other on the street in Prague. Neruda would always greet her by taking off his hat. For years, Svetla would pretend not to see him and look the other way. But later on, she'd give a slight nod of the head. And we only learned about this misunderstanding a generation on, after the protagonists had died.
Zjistila generace po smrti obou těchto protagonistů.
Svetla was the archetypal poor little rich girl, who had a rather tragic life throughout. She lost a child, most likely through cot death, and battled with mental illness from her childhood.
Celý život paní Svetla byla prostě nemocná. Ty problémy měla už jako...
Her whole life, Karolina Svetla was very ill. She had problems right from when she was very young. She was schizophrenic. She described how once she was walking across the street in Prague when a young girl walked past her, looking at her funny. Once this girl disappeared, she realized that she'd been looking at herself in her own youth. She had a child which died in infancy, and after its death, she locked herself in her house and sewed clothes for the dead child by candlelight. That was the reason her husband took her away to the countryside for a while. In the 1870s, the illness continued. Her nerves made her go almost blind, and she had to dictate her work to a secretary. She was a complicated, highly emotional woman.
To byla komplikovaná, přecitlivělá žena.
In recent years, the work of Karolina Svetla has fallen somewhat out of fashion. Robert Pinson explains why this might have happened.
Various reasons. She was actually plugged by the communists quite a lot for social reasons. Her portrayals of the rich Germans in the towns and the beautiful, pure Czechs in the countryside in very good stories like Lesni Pana. She seemed to have all the right things. So she was a bit plugged by the communists. by the, you know, normalization period, by the 80s, really, yeah, she seems to have gone almost completely out of fashion.
But whether Svetla is à la mode or not right now, scholars and readers seem to agree that her work has withstood the test of time.